You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is, Who Are You? So the question is, do you know who you are? There's a lot of ways you can ask this question, who are you? I mean, you could, you know, if you're a woman and a guy walks up and thinks you're attractive, he goes, whoa, who are you? There's one way to ask it. You might do it in a judgmental way. Well, who are you? Who are you to tell me how to live? Who are you to tell me what I should be doing or not doing? And then there's just the basic question sometimes where you just stand and look in the mirror, and it may be disgust, it may be discouragement, where you've done something, you've gone down a trail you thought you'd never go down, and you're just like looking at yourself going, dude, who are you? Who are you? What are you thinking? What are you doing? What's happening to your life? And then people ask that of God, who are you? We'll get to that in a minute. And sometimes it's God kind of looking at us, you think, asking, who are you? And what have you got going on? Part of today, and I'll start with this, I suppose, if you are not a Christian and you have a family member, you have a friend, you have someone at work who was going down a path, and then everything changed in their life. And you knew them to be one way. You knew them to act a certain way, to speak a certain way, to interact a certain way, to just everything was a certain way, and then they change. Everything changes. And you begin to ask this question of this person, like, who are you? Like, where'd my friend go? And your friend's not hanging out with you like they used to, maybe not going drinking, not going partying, not living the same life. And you don't know what happened to them. Where did they go? Who are they now? Now you say, well, was it a bad thing that happened to them? Now listen very closely. If you became a religious person and that's all that happened to you, you got religion, then you're in trouble. So what I'm talking to you about today is not about becoming religious. I am talking to you today about encountering the living God and entering into a personal relationship with him that over time, like being born a second time, as the Bible describes it, you are born, and then over time you begin to grow and to change. And where you're not filling diapers anymore, you're putting all that in the appropriate place, you know, you just grow up. And what the world observes about us and sometimes has no answer for is, what happened to you? Because what happened to you or what happened to me did not happen to them. And they may have no interest in this, but I'm telling you that even if you reached every goal that you think life is about, everything you thought was going to make it work, you got the car, you got the house, you got the girl or the girls, the guy or the guys, if you accomplished everything you set out to accomplish, I can promise you, you've still got an empty spot that no one can satisfy but Jesus. And that's what happened to your friend or your family member or your neighbor or your coworker. They didn't get religion. They finally got Jesus, not in their head, but in their heart. And he changes your heart, and then he begins to change your life. It doesn't mean they're perfect. It doesn't mean they don't screw up. It doesn't mean they're unforgiving anymore. They're not angry anymore. It doesn't mean any of that. But you know, and I know, that something fundamentally different, something changed on the inside of that person. Now, here's the good news. If it can happen to them, it can happen to you. So if you would, open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Moses is the guy that God picked to lead Israel out of Egypt. And Moses is out in the wilderness tending sheep, 40 years out there. And on a certain day, he sees a bush that is on fire but is not being consumed and goes, what's up with that? Goes up to the bush and the voice of God. And let's jump down in verse 11. God has spoken to him, take your sandals off, you're standing on holy ground. He realizes what's up, and God begins to tell him, I'm going to send you to liberate my people. In verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain, which is very fascinating. He tells him from the beginning, you'll be back here. And that'll be the sign that it worked out. And they end up back there. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? In other words, who are you? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am, or you may have it translated, I am that I am. It's not I was, I will be, I am. When somebody just am, they just am. Right? If you just am, that's just timeless. I am that I am. Now remember that phrase. And he said, thus shall you say to the children of Israel. So this is who I am. And you're going to say, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. So Israelites knew that phrase, I am, because that's what Moses showed up and said, this is who sent me. Keep that in your head. Go to John chapter 1. So you say, well, who is God? He is the great I am. He just is. John chapter 1, verse 19. Now, this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, and this was the question, who are you? Literally, that's what they sent him out from. John the Baptist is out there tearing it up, preaching repentance and baptizing people and drawing crowds. And you know, religious people, they love crowds. So they go out there, and the question is, we've been sent out here to ask, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Now, part of knowing who you are is knowing who you aren't. You have to be okay with who you are, not who you wish you were or maybe want to be. You got to get comfortable in your own skin. This is who I am. This is my spot. This is where God put me in the family, in the body, and I'm going to be okay with this. And John the Baptist, in all of his glory out there going and blowing, he knew who he wasn't. So he said, and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? And he said, I'm not. Are you the prophet? And he said, no. And they said to him, who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? He said, and he starts out with I am, which is pretty spooky, but keeps going. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. So he says, I'm that guy that he was talking about. Now those who were sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. And what is he saying? Jesus is already on the planet. He's walking around, and you don't even know him. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Now go down to, let's go to the next verse. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now let me tell you something. That's who he is. Somebody talks to you about Jesus. You go, well, if you could stand before Jesus and you'd say, well, who are you? He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He's not one preparing the way for himself. He is the one. He is the way. And we'll get to that in a minute. Go to John chapter 8, and let's go down to verse 21. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come, like he's going to commit suicide. And he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Now look at what that says. The same thing is true for us today. If you do not believe that I am he, in other words, Messiah, you will die in your sins. Then they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father, in other words, God himself, the Father. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. And as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Go down to verse 48. Then the Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Now they're accusing him of being demon-possessed. Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham's dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead. Who do you make yourself out to be? Like, well, who do you think you are? Who are you? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. If I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Dude, what are you talking about? And then look at what he says. Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, he didn't say before Abraham was, I was. He said before Abraham was, I am. And they knew exactly what he was claiming because look at the next few verses. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Why? Because it was blasphemy and they were going to stone him to death because he claimed to be God. Do you know why Jesus claimed to be God? Because he is God. And that's why you can need him. That's why you do need him, because he is God. Go to Matthew chapter 16. I know we're going backwards a little bit. Go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, look at verse 13 and following. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Okay, so it's a very strange question because he says, who do they say that I, the Son of Man, am? In other words, answers the question, this is who I am. But who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist. And by the way, John the Baptist, you know, is beheaded. So they think, well, maybe he comes back from the dead or something. John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, now it's a who am I, but who do you say that I am? Okay, that's what the world, that's what everybody's saying out there. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Now let me stop here again and say this. If you think you revealed all this to yourself, you don't have what it is. He reveals himself to you. He shows up. He gives you faith. You believe, you respond, and it's all him. He is not looking for partners. He's looking for children to trust him and acknowledge it is all him. In John chapter 12, let's see. Yeah, go back over to John, then we'll stick in John for a while. So John chapter 12, in verse 12, the next day a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees, went out to meet him, and cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. So who did they think he was? The King of Israel. And then the rest of John is the week up to his all those days, crucifixion, burial, resurrection, and then until his ascension, the rest of that whole book. Go to John chapter 14. So if your leader has been talking about and is talking about leaving, dying, being buried, raised from the dead, all these things, then he addresses that and he says here in verse 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. So you know where I'm going and you know the way, how to get there. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? We don't know where you're going, and we don't know how to get there. So Jesus was talking about going back to the Father, and he had come here, so he knew the way back. And he says, you do know the way. Now, you think of directions as somebody saying, leave your house, go 1.1 miles down the street, take a right, all that, and then you'll be at the destination. That's the way you get there. What Jesus is saying to them is, I'm not going to give you the directions. I am the directions. So look what he says next. Jesus said to him, Thomas, I am the way. You're trying to figure out where I'm going and how to get there. You're looking at the way to get there. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if you say, well, I don't know that I know the way to heaven. I'm telling you, the way to heaven is a person, Jesus. You get Jesus, you got your way to heaven. Just like that. Don't complicate this. He said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again. So as sure as I'm standing here, you know what I know? That if either I'm dying or he's coming back for me, and I'll be alive when it happens, and he knows the way. There's not a space agency on the planet that can build a rocket to get to heaven. That's not the way. Now listen, you want to make heaven, you better know the way. You say, well, I'm going to get to heaven. How are you going to get there? Do you know the way? What's the way? It's a person. And his name's Jesus. John chapter 18, let's go down to verse 28. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning, but they themselves did not go into the praetorium lest they should be defiled. So you know all these Jewish leaders hauling Jesus around trying to get him killed, and they don't want to defile themselves, right? Holy days, we don't want to go in front of these Gentiles, we'll defile ourselves, but we're hauling the Messiah around trying to get him crucified. That doesn't defile anything, clearly. But that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, what accusation do you bring against this man? They answered and said to him, if he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him to you. In other words, they said, what's the accusation? Well, if he wasn't a bad guy, we wouldn't be here. That's not the question. Then Pilate said to them, you take him and judge him according to your law. Therefore the Jews said to him, it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death. So now they reveal, this is what we're after. We don't want a judgment. We want a sentence. We want a death sentence, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? In other words, who are you? Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? Like, are you personally asking me if I'm the king of the Jews, or did you hear that, and you're asking just out of curiosity? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him at all. Go to Acts chapter 9. So Jesus has died, he's been buried, he's been raised from the dead, he's ascended into heaven, and the ball's rolling. And there's a guy named Saul who's making a lot of trouble for the church. Does not like Christians, hates Christians, has got documentation to go all over the country and get them killed, imprisoned, get rid of these people who are of the way. So he's on one of these trips. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem, out there with authorization that if somebody claimed to be of the way, in other words, Jesus, follower of Jesus, arrest him, bring him to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Very interesting. Why would Jesus say, why are you persecuting me, when he was persecuting Christians? Because when you persecute Christians, you persecute him. And he said, Saul says, back. Who are you, Lord? Very interesting little, he doesn't say, who are you? He says, who are you, Lord? You say, well, but he doesn't know that he's Lord. He know. Let me tell you something. If you see a bright light at high noon and hear a voice saying, why are you persecuting me? You might throw a Lord in there just to be safe. Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? That's a great question. Ask that question. Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. So they heard the voice, but didn't see anybody. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. I've said this for years. It's hard to be yourself if you really don't know who you are. And until you know him, you will never know who you really are. You'll try to be something, somebody. Everybody's trying to be somebody. And it's no matter what you pull off, everybody's somebody to nobody. And everybody's nobody to somebody. And I share this with you along the way. You know, if somebody said, well, you just want to be on these radio stations because you want to be somebody. Let me tell you something. I already am somebody. I don't need to be on the radio. I can be on a planet by myself. I'm somebody because he says I'm somebody. I don't need you telling me how great I am. Because I'm somebody before you even open your mouth. You say, well, you're being all cocky. I got nothing without him. So do you know who you are? Are you insecure? Are you afraid? I still have those moments, but I know how to snap out of them because I get off of me and get it back on him. I am a child. You know what? I bet I got this in my notes. Go to John chapter 1. Listen to these verses in John chapter 1. And this is where we were earlier. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. This is talking about Jesus. He's in the world. The world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So how do you become a Christian? You receive him. And as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Now, this is so simple. I am a child of God because I was born into his family. You can get adopted into a family, born into a family. I was both. I'm in the family. That simple. God is my Father, and I know whose I am, and therefore I know who I am.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
Let me read you a little bit of a song by The Who. Anybody remember this one? Here are the words, other than the who are you, who. I woke up in a Soho doorway. A policeman knew my name. He said, you can go sleep at home tonight if you can get up and walk away. I staggered back to the underground, the subway, and the breeze blew back my hair. I remembered throwing punches around and preaching from my chair. Then more, who are you? I took the tube back out of town, back to the rolling pin. I felt a little like a dying clown with a streak of Ren 10-10. I stretched back and I hiccuped and looked back on my busy day, 11 hours in the tin pan, which is the area of town where all these record labels were. God, there's got to be another way. I know there's a place you walked where love falls from the trees. My heart is like a broken cup. I only feel right on my knees. I spit out like a sewer hole. yet still receive your kiss. How can I measure up to anyone now after such a love as this? Who are you? You'll never know till you know whose you are. And you'll never be his till you respond.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.